So, my friends, we are moving along. We spent a lot of time on the beginning of this perek, on perek Yud Aleph, because I couldn't rip myself away from the way the different Mefarshim handled that tzava'a of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Zechariah to be the ro'eh. As he is letting Zechariah know that this Beit HaMikdash that is not even completed yet is going to be an eternal, is not going to be the eternal Slicha Beit HaMikdash, but rather it will also go through a Churban. So he tells Zechariah, so this is your job now as Navi. Your job is Re'ei, remember? Re'ei etzon ha'arega. You are to be the ro'eh. That's your job. You are to be the shepherd. A shepherd is a leader who leads, we know, with love and kindness and concern for every single one of his flock. You are to be the ro'eh of the tzon ha'harega, nachon, of the tzon that's going to slaughter, of the sheep that are going to slaughter. And you have to help them make it through this time, which now you know is going to also end in a churban. And if you remember the psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that followed, the instructions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him as a ro'eh, remember, was to get rods. A ro'eh has a crook. A ro'eh has a rod that really helped him to lead the sheep. And he had two. One was Noam. Remember, one was he led with kindness, and the other was he led with punishment. And we had all the Mefarshim telling us something different about the meaning of those two rods. But the whole idea is here, be a shepherd, and this is what I want you to do. Remember? Remember, this is what I want you to do. Whether you're paid by the people, meaning whether they really want you to be the shepherd, or whether they do not. And now he goes on, we're going to finish the perek, and what he goes on is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still speaking to the Navi, to Zechariah, and he's revealing to him that when things will come to an end, there will be a ro'eh evili, a foolish shepherd. In other words, there's going to come a king later on who's going to be a very foolish shepherd, and it's going to signal the end of the times of Bayit Sheni. And that will take care of this perek. And then we are going to go on a ride, an amazing ride, literally a ride, but I'll talk about that in a minute, or a few minutes. So let's look together at Perek Yud Aleph. We really did almost, even though it didn't seem that we did, but we almost finished the Perek. It's Tet Vav, and it's a very short Perek, Tet Vav. So Yud Aleph, Tet Vav. Yud Aleph, Tet Vav. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Od. More. There's more that you have to do. Kach Lecha Kli Roeh Evili. Now I want you to take the utensil of a foolish ro'eh. Evili, evil, right? A foolish ro'eh. And the kli, it's not a rod. In other words, the foolish ro'eh doesn't know how he should lead his tzon. Exactly, right. In other words, it's very interesting. Let's look at Rashi for a moment. Rashi says, Vizehu shamar lo lamala, and this is what he told him above. In other words, Veroet Sona Harega. Let's go back to the original point. I want you to be the Roeh of the sheep that are going to slaughter. Simanhu she'eni atid limsor dor churban beit rega. Where's he, Rashi? Rashi. Bayit she'eni zeh. Biyad Titus. It's a sign that I'm going to give that final generation of Bayacheni into the hands of Titus. In other words, no matter what kind of roe you will be, at the end there's going to be a foolish roe who doesn't have the right kli, who doesn't have the right instrument of leading the sheep. So a kli is going to take a kli, right? Which is really strange. The Malbim says, Rega, I need to read you the Malbim, it's very important. Vayomer Hashem Elai, etc. The Pasuk, Ratzalomar, Haroe Ata Yehye Evil. The Roe, the shepherd at that time is going to be foolish. Shalo Yehye Biado Makel Klal Lahanhig. He's not going to have any kind of makel to lead at Hatzon, the sheep. Lo makel noam, not the makel of sweetness. Velo makel chovlim, and not the makel of punishment. He's not going to have any kind of makel. Raki yelo kli haroe. He's going to have a little kli, a vessel of a roe. Shemavashel bum et b'sar hatzon, a little pot he's going to have that he eats, that he cooks in it, the meat of the tzon, v'ochel otam u'mashchitam. He's going to have, notice the imagery that the Malbim is bringing before us. This roeh is not going to have any kind of rod of leadership. All he's going to want to do, he's going to have a pot in which he cooks the meat of the flesh of the sheep and destroys them. In other words, the king is going to be all for me first, do what he needs at the expense of the people. He's just going to have something to eat, the flesh of the tzon. Did I finish it? Rega ken. No. Ki ken. No. Hey, I didn't finish it. I knew I didn't finish it. Ki ken hayu hamalachim haachronim she'amdu bebayit sheni. Because that's the way the last Malachim were in Bayit Sheni. They were interested in their own gain, in their own food, what they could put in their mouth, what they could eat, what they could consume. The Navi is supposed to be the teacher. The Navi is not going to live forever. Remember, Navi is human. He's a human being. So the Navi, you now, for the rest of your life, what your job is to try to teach the future leaders. But unfortunately, at the end, there's going to be a roe evil. The Navi has to start with the makel, take the makel, because he's teaching the kings. He is the role model, which is the job of a Navi. But please remember, when he lived, there were no kings. Think for a minute of the history that we kept on reading. Remember, why did I spend two periods on all of that history, which is that you are supposed to be the role model. You will hand over the rods of leadership to the kings. Because if you remember the first Perush that we learned, I don't remember what the first, after Rashi, because Rashi's the one that looks back. I was the Roeh during Bayit Rishon. Now you have to be the Roeh. But the next Perush, which was not the Malbim, I don't think. Mitzudot, thank you. It was Mitzudot. And Mitzudot said, all during the time of the Chashmonaim, remember? So you, Zechariah, will hand over the rod of leadership to the first kings. And that was the Chashmonaim. And the first three were okay. The first one was okay. The first three sons of Matityahu were okay. And then it wasn't so epic. But she was unusual. Ah, but that's a very, very good question. And that's a very good question. But I want you to remember, first of all, I'm going to just do a philosophical answer. You'll be so amazed. Are you ready to be amazed? The philosophical answer is that nothing is all good or all bad in this world. I'm serious. Nothing is all good or all bad. They did exert leadership. But what I think the answer really is, aside from my philosophizing, is that when the Hashmonaim took over at first, please remember that they were not kings. They refused to be kings. Yehuda himself refused to allow the people to call him a king, and then he died very quickly. Yehuda died within the first year after Nes Chanukah. Shimon sort of didn't let them be a king, but he was terribly flattered. And when he died and his son took over, his son did rule as a king. But what essentially is going on, taking away that problem that they shouldn't have taken the crown of Malchut in addition to the crown of Kahuna, what really was going on is, just to remind you of the history, until the Hashmonaim took over, they did not have any independence, so there was no leadership except the Navi. And then a little bit from Malachi, who's just wrapping things up, as far as Nebuah is concerned. Remember that they were very quickly, first of all, they were ruled by Persia, and then very, very shortly after the second Beit HaMikdash was built, along came our good friend Alexander the Great marching across the Middle East. And so they were ruled by the generals who took over after Alexander the Great. And it was only when the Seleucid kings were so very cruel that they had to rebel that Matityahu Kohen Gadol felt that there was no choice, Nachon, and organized a rebellion, and so there's the leadership. That's that taking over the leadership. And the Hashmonai kings led more or less till the very end when they handed over the leadership to Rome. No, we have Malachi. But Malachi... Yes, yes, it's excellent. And what Marcel said is we have to remember the imagery. And the imagery of the Mavir Tzono Tachat Shifto, we're coming, right, to the Me'adin. And so it's very appropriate that we remember that it's like he's the shepherd. He is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting ready for the Yom Din. He is the Reya. He is supposed to act as the positive influence. And yet he also has the Makel Chovlim, because the Ribbono Shelam is going to punish. Everything comes mixed in. Avraham Avinu was a Ro'ed. David. Yes. So it's just coming. We have a huge chain. And it's like very frightening, because we see before us what is going to go on in this history, and we've just stepped our foot in. Give me a few minutes, okay? So we have Pasuk Tet Zayin. So we're going to talk now about that Roe Evil, that foolish Roe, shepherd. Ki hine anochi mekim Roe ba'aretz. Because Hine, behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm going to establish a Roeh in this land. HaNikhadot lo yifkod. You know what kind of Roeh he's going to be? He is not going to remember yifkod. He'll remember, take into mind, put into his mind, the Nikhadot, any sheep that are lost, that are missing, Nikhadot. He's not going to pay attention to a sheep that's disappeared. Hana'ar lo yivakesh. Na'ar here is like a young sheep, a lamb that you have to worry about because maybe it can't follow, it can't walk well yet. And he's not going to seek out the very young sheep that can't walk along with the rest of the flock. V'hanishberet lo yirape. And a sheep that's been broken, that's fallen and been injured, he is not going to heal. Hanitzava lo yikalkel. A sheep that cannot move, that kind of is standing in its place, he is not going to make sure to bring food to the sheep that cannot move over to where the food is. Ubisar habriya yochal. And if there's a sheep, a fattened sheep, a nice sheep that's bria, in the Navi, bari is not healthy, it's always fat. Fat. He is, you know what, if he has a fat sheep, he's going to eat it, yochal. Ufarseho nifareik, and he's going to, eat it to the very bottom so that he'll break open the parsa, the hooves. In other words, eat it to the very end. So this is going to be the very opposite of what a shepherd should do. Because the job of a shepherd is if a sheep is lost, you go look for it. If a sheep is young, you know all the medrashim about both Avraham and David HaMelech, that if a little sheep was too young, they would take them and carry them if they couldn't keep up to the flock. If the sheep was injured, you take care of that sheep. You bring the sheep food if they can't go to the sheep. That sheep, that roeh, is going to just look for what he can get from them. Wow. That was good. That was very good. I liked that very much. So basically, this roeh is just not going to take care of the sheep the way a normal roeh should do. He's not going to do it. And we have that last pasuk of the perek. Excuse? Hoi, another hoi. Hoi, woe, roi ha'elil. Ozvi hatzon. Cherev al zroo. Va'al ein yimino. Zroo yavosh tivash. Ve'ein yimini. Without looking at all the individual words, hoi, hoi, that roeh, that last roeh, that foolish roeh, because essentially you are going to be killed, and with you will go all of the malchut, all of the medina, and the Beit HaMikdash as well. So Roeha Elil, according to Rashi, Rashi says, Hoi, yesh litzok al zeh. You really should scream about this. Scream about what I'm going to tell you now, Zachariah. Yesh litzok. Cry out. Roeha Elil, roi shel ayin, shel nothing. Elil, like an Elil, is nothing. Elil is shown al. It's like no. Roeh, no roeh. Okay? He's not really a shepherd. So the roeh Elil is this roeh who's not really a shepherd. Because instead of taking care of its own, he actually abandons them. And then look for a moment at the Malbim. You know what? I'm going to read you the Malbim on the last pasuk. I'm sorry. I wanted to get to the end of the perek, but I have to. Okay? So I'm just going to read two psukim in the Malbim now, okay? Tetzayin ki hine anochi makim ro'eh ba'aras, because it's really important. Shelo yireh tatzon, who is not going to shepherd the sheep. Because hanikchadot lo yifached, hainu, lo yashkiach al hanikchadim min ha'uma lalechet lagola. He's not going to pay any attention to those who the fall out, those who get lost among the nations, those who are taken into exile and get lost. Hana'ar hatzon hanolad b'tzirato lo yivakesh. He's not going to seek out the babies. L'kabetz tla'im bizro'o. U'b'chayko yisa. To gather up the little baby lambs and carry them on his arms. Hainu shelo yashkiach al yaldeyem mutzireyem. He's not going to take care of the babies. V'hanishbarot, etc. Ad, I want you to see, this is the reason I read the Malbim. I'm skipping the part that we don't need. Ad shi'yifarekam parsotehem. He'll break open the hooves. So the Malbim says, Ratzalomar, she'et ha'ashirim shebahem yishlol v'yigzol mamonam. So the hooves is being hard, the ones that are harder to get to. He is going to take the money and steal all the money that anybody who is hoarding it, who is rich, has. And then, hoi, the last pasuk, woe, roeha alil, asher hema ozvim et hatzon, cherev al zroo. It's as though there's a sword hanging on his hand, with the hand being the zroa is the sign of a person's action, their strength, zroa, right? Like Hashem, zroa kodesho, hu sheyipol kocho ugvurato. He's not going to be able to use his arm because there's a cherev. His strength is going to fall. Va'en yimino kocho kehe, and his right eye will dim. Shehu sheyisbol chachmato v'yeyonesh bein begufo bein anefesh. He is going to suffer in all ways, whether it be in his body or whether it be in his soul, whether he's psychologically, slicha. V'harav yischak abarbanel piresh. You know that the Malbim loves to quote the abarbanel. Al agripas. He is talking about one of the last kings, one of the sons of Hordus, of Herod the Great, Shehaya HaMelech HaAcharon. He was the last king, Shenafal B'cherev B'Romi. He fell by the sword in Rome. Actually, what Agrippas did is he surrendered completely. He went to Rome and became like, you know, and really abandoned not only his royal role, but he abandoned the Jews altogether. V'gam b'no shehaya ish tov neherag imo, sheze medame le'ein yimino. In other words, his eye was his son, like a person's eye, right? Something is as precious to you as an eye. What is his right eye? His right eye was his son, who was really had potential, but he was killed with him when Agrippas defected and went to Rome, which is what's going to happen. And not only that, that was the end of the Malbim. In other words, Zroo Yavosh Tivosh, back to the Pasuk, his strength, Zroa, is going to dry up. The Ein Yimino, there we go, that right eye will be dimmed, meaning there is no longer any hope. No longer any hope, there's no seed, there's no king, there's nobody to take over. Rome is stepping in completely at this time. So basically, we are now going into an entirely new idea in Zechariah. And the last three prakim in Zechariah are very, very, very well known because he is talking about Milchamot, Gog, Umagog. He is one of the Nevi'im, actually I should say, let's go back. He is the Navi that gives us the most information about all three battles of Gog, Umagog. Remember when we learned Yechezkel? He told us about the first two battles. Yechezkel told us about the first two battles. The enemy that gathers around Yerushalayim will be destroyed. They never enter Yerushalayim. However, in the third battle of Gog and Magog, they do. manage to enter Yerushalayim, and they are destroyed there, but not before they do some damage. And the only Navi that describes us anything about it is Zechariah. There are many psukim here that you will recognize from anything you've ever heard about those last battles of Gog Magog. And so basically notice, please for a moment, what Zechariah has taught us. At the beginning, remember there was all that hope. At the beginning, Roni v'simchi bat Zion ki yinini ba. Remember that gorgeous perek? The middle of Perek Bet? Sing and rejoice, Bat Zion, because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready to come back to the Beit HaMikdash, right? V'shachanti b'tochech. And I'm going to dwell in your midst, Ne'om Hashem. And then he showed that the Kohen Gadol, remember the Prakim, the wonderful Haftarav, Balotcha and Shabbat Chanukah, where the Kohen Gadol said, you're going to have another chance, okay, you're not totally pure, but you are going to have another chance, Yoshua Kohen Gadol. And then the next parak with the menorah shekulo zahav. And then they're basically building the Beit HaMikdash with tremendous hope, even though they noticed that there were all those things missing. Remember, there was no Aron, there's no Shechina, Urim V'tumim, the light on the menorah didn't stay lit, and the fire didn't come down on the Mizbeach. And if you remember, there were all those prakim where there was a delegation that came from Bavel and asked the Navi, HaNifkeh b'chodesh ha-chamishi, do we still have to fast on Tisha B'Av? And the Navi gave them a 3-parak long answer about, you're asking the wrong question, because what you should really ask is, what can we do to make sure that it's going to never happen again? And then he went into all of those prakim that we learned about, what's going to happen in the future, what is going to happen during the times of Bayit Sheni. You have to be a ro'eh. And now he ends his nevuah with Milchamot Gog u'Magog. So that's Zechariah. I just gave it to you. Right, in a little pricey. Perek Yud Bet, you have to take a deep breath before you go into these 3 prakim. Deep. Okay. Yud Bet, Masa. And you know a Masa is a difficult, burdensome nevuah. Masa. Dvar Hashem al Yisrael. Ne'om Hashem. This is the word of Hashem about what's going to happen to Yisrael. And these are the exact words of Hashem. Notesh amayim v'yoseid aretz. We are talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu who spread out the heavens and established the land. V'yotzeir ruach adam b'kirbo. And he who created the spirit of man within him. And what the Malbim explains to him is that just as he made the heavens and he made the earth, he made the human being who has partially the spirituality of the heavens and partially the mamashut, the physicality of the earth. So in other words, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying about this creature that he created, this Adam, when he was creating everything in the world. Hine anochi sam et Yerushalayim saf ra'al l'chol ha'amim saviv. Here I am, I'm getting ready, and I'm going to make Yerushalayim saf. Here is like a seifel, a container of ra'al. Mazer ra'al? Poison. A container of poison for all of the nations around. V'gam al Yehudah yihyeh b'matzor al Yerushalayim. And also on Yehudah, I have a nevuah that they also will be in the matzor on Yerushalayim, which is really interesting. because it's very hard to understand what that means. Okay, again, I'm going to make Yerushalayim a cup of poison, and also I have a nevuah on all of Yehuda, not on Yerushalayim, that are going to be in the Matzor. So according to some of the Mefarshim, I think the Malbim says, it's important. Pasuk Bet in the Malbim, Hine Anochi, Kvar Hit Ba'er B'Yecheskel. He's reminding us that we already learned in Sefer Yecheskel, and he gives us a list of the Prakim and Yecheskel where he talks about Melchamot Gog u'Magog, ki ba'acharit hayamim, that at the end of days, yitkabtzu chel Gog u'Magog, there will be gathered the army of Gog u'Magog, sheheim umot Edom, who are the nations of Edom, litpos et Yerushalayim miyad hayishme'elim. Is that scary? All of the armies of Edom, Rome, Christianity, are going to gather outside of Yerushalayim to capture it from the hands of the Yishma'elim. Islam? Oy, vehem yilachamu kenegdam v'yaharguza etzeh. And they're going to fight against them and kill each other. V'Hashem yilachem b'shneem. And Hashem will fight against both of them. La'asot b'hem mishpat katuv. To do with them the judgment that has already been inscribed and written. Al hara'ot she'asu li'Yisrael. On the evils that they did to Yisrael. B'churban ha'bayit uva'et ha'gola. During the time of the Churban, specifically the time of the Churban of the second Beit HaMikdash, and all through the times of the Galut, u'makdim, and he begins by saying, she'Yerushalayim tiyeh saf ra'a l'chol ha'amim, that Yerushalayim is going to be like a cup of poison for all of the nations that will come there. Shemin hasaf hazeh yishtu v'yishkeru v'yidhamu. They're going to drink from that cup. Excuse me, I'm going to have to take a drink. Not from that poison, from the water. I'm trusting that Chani, if she brought me the water, brought me water. They are going to drink. In other words, they are going to think that they can consume, right? Yerushalayim. They're going to drink till they'll become drunk. In other words, drink their fill. But Yidhamu, they are then going to be finished. Because it's poison. V'gam al Yehuda yiyeh b'matzor al Yerushalayim. The Malbim says, no, it's not such a big deal. Rotzolomar sheterem yagiyu lotzur al Yerushalayim. Very straight, very simple. Before they get to set siege on Yerushalayim, yotzuru al Yehuda. They're going to also set siege on all of Yehuda. Sorry, one second. Almost made it through the whole thing. V'yasu li'Yisrael rabot ra'ot rabot v'tzarot. And they're going to do for the Jews many troubles and many evils and troubles. On a simple thing, the Malbim, I do have cough drops, give me a second. The Malbim explains, yeah, right on top. The Malbim explains that funny pasuk gam al Yehuda, that he's saying, even before they set siege on Yerushalayim, It's not that they're going to come right to Yerushalayim and just, you know, try to be set siege on Yerushalayim, but they're going to march through all of Yehuda and do a lot of damage. So in other words, it's going to be a process, and the process will be that they're going to come through Yehuda, and then finally, after doing a lot of damage in the entire area, they will set siege on Yerushalayim. I want you to know, though, that Rashi has a different idea. And he says, yes, the nations will march through all of Yehuda before getting to Yerushalayim, but then they will force the armies of all of the other cities in Yehuda to come with them and be part of the siege. And many of those people who will fight along with this army of Gog and Magog will be destroyed with that army. So we have already a very frightening picture, and Yerushalayim will be a coast ra'al because it will poison them, right? And it will be on that day, Asim et Yerushalayim Even ma'amasa l'chol ha'amim. Kol omseha sarot yisaretu v'ne'esfu eleha kol goyei ha'aretz. In other words, very simply, they're not going to be able to so quickly conquer Yerushalayim. In the first pasuk, it's a kos ra'al. They will drink from it. In other words, they think they're going to destroy it, but what they're drinking is going to come into them and poison them. And in the second pasuk, Even Ma'amasa is a terribly heavy stone that is very, very difficult to carry. So Yerushalayim is going to be too much for them. They think they can carry it away, but it's going to be like a too much of a weight for all of the nations, and all of those who try to carry it, Saroti Saretu, they'll be scratched, they'll be injured by the stone that they're trying to carry. They'll suffer from what they're trying to do. But nevertheless, Ne'esfu Eleha Kol Goyei Haaretz. But nevertheless, they're going to keep trying. They are going to, all of the nations of the world are going to gather up outside of Yerushalayim. Malbim. Okay, this is the Even Ma'amasa, the heavy weight. Sheneged ha-goyim sheyavou latur al Yerushalayim. That opposite the nations that come to set siege on Yerushalayim. Ya'amdu ha'amim she'hem malchut Yishmael she'Yerushalayim hi biyadam. It's very hard for me to say it. That against the nations that are coming to set siege, they're going to be fighting against Yishmael, and they're going to be like a rock, like a very heavy rock, because Yerushalayim is going to be in their hands, in the hands of the Yishmaelim. The Yirtsu, yeah, it makes you like think of that, doesn't it? The Yirtsu lisa et Yerushalayim al shechmam, and the nations that come to fight are going to want to carry it away on their shoulders. Ratzalo marshi yishaer birshutam. Excuse me, the other way. The Yishmaelim, I want to carry it on their backs, meaning they will, that it should stay under their control. Aval amasa hazeh yiyeh lahem even mat ema, even ma'amasa, but it's going to be like a rock that's too heavy to carry. Asher yisretu bam et pisaram, that Even, that stone, the Yishmaelim will try to defend Yerushalayim and keep it in their property, and it's going to harm them. It's going to scratch their skin. Kenosei masak veda minso, like somebody who's carrying a burden that's really too heavy for them to tolerate. V'hu even chada, and not only is it too heavy, but it is also sharp. Yes, shesoretet et habasar, that scratches the flesh. Umafaresh ha'ta'am sheyisrituba. And now he explains the reason that they'll be scratched by it, more than scratched, you know, really deep. Mipnei ki ye'esfu eleha kol goyei ha'aretz. You know why it's too hard to carry and why they're going to be harmed? Shechel gogu magog yitasfu kulam l'kavsha min ha'yishme'elim ha'amumimota, ha'omsimota. Sorry. Thank you. I heard. Because it's going to be too heavy to carry, because that army that is going to come against Jerusalem to fight is huge. All the nations of the world are going to stand and are going to come and stand outside of Jerusalem and set siege and start fighting. And it's going to be too heavy a burden for the people of Yishmael, the Malchut, it says, of Yishmael to carry. V'koreya ta Yishmaelim b'shem amim v'et ha'nesafim aleihim b'shem goyim. You know the Malbim. When the Malbim sees two synonyms, he can't stand leaving it alone. And so if it says amim, and then it says goyim, it says v'nesfu aleha kol goyei ha'aretz. He says, it's not just a synonym, right? Shemavo aretz li. He says, you know, I it's very important to me that when you see two different words that mean the same thing, that there's a difference between them. She'am mu'ule yoter min goy. An Am is on a higher level than a goy. An Am is an organized nation that has a government, that has a ruling person, a ruling body. It's an organized. They have beliefs, they have rules, laws, regulations. Ki hamit kaptim aleihem yutchila min ha'amonim ha'pchutim. Because those who came, those who come at first are going to be just from like crowds of people who are less. Umalcheya Yishmaelim Yilchamu Kenegdam, and they'll be able to fight against them, but then Venasfu Goye Haaretz, the Goyim are the Prusim, and who are the Amim here? The Yishmaelim. In other words, they're gonna really be in control. Bayom Hahu, Pasuk Dalit, I'm back in the text. Noam Hashem, Ake kol sus betimahon, v'rochvo b'shigaon, v'al beit Yehuda efkach et einai, v'chol sus ha'amim ake b'ivaron. So it's frightening, but it doesn't sound so bad so far, does it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on that day, we're going to have a lot of this expression, Bayom Ahu, is going to repeat itself. Bayom Ahu, the day, that day, judgment day. Noam Hashem, I'm going to strike every horse with Timahon. The horses are going to have some kind of madness, right? Timahon is shock, right? V'rochbo, slicha, bewilderment, more, you know, like a strong bewilderment, and its rider, B'shigaon, is going to go crazy, right? But on Beit Yehuda, I'm going to open my eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to watch. I'm going to be Mashkiach on the house of Yehuda. V'chol susa amim akeh b'ivaron, and the horses of the nations, I will strike with blindness. And he says, Mava'er, Malbim, Sheyeh hakol me'et Hashem. Bayom hahu, aleph, I, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm going to do it. Sheyosun Irbuvia ben shnei hatzadim. He's going to make some kind of total confusion between the two sides. Im neged hagoyim, excuse me, am neged hagoyim, hapchusim sheyalu lechboshet Yerushalayim, right? The nation and the goyim, that the lesser nations that have come up to conquer Yerushalayim, akekol sus, etc., shekmosha hamishuga ya'aseh dvarim al yedei koach hadimyon b'li etza v'seichel, kein tihyeh asifatam b'lo seichel uv'li tachlit misudar. The goy, right, the b'chusim, that's the lesser. They're the ones that are not organized. They're going to be like a horde, H-O-R-D-E, right, of people that come without any order, without any seichel. So when it says, I'm going to make their horses like bewildered and in shock, and the riders crazy, so the crazy means that they came without a goal. They came without a plan. They didn't have tactics set up, military tactics. They just came like a horde outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. Ubasher belechtam lechboshet Yerushalayim yehiyu bnei Yisrael shehem begalut Edom besakana. And at the time that they start marching on Yerushalayim, then those members of Bnei Yisrael that will still be in the, actually all of us, that will still be in the Galut of Edom, will be in danger. You know what it reminds me of? Let me finish the Malbim, but it should remind you of something. Amar she'al Beit Yehuda efkach et eini, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're in danger. I'm going to open my eyes. Bal yovdu b'hasharuria hazot, that they should not be destroyed in the midst of this fight that's really not theirs. They're just going to be killed along the way. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens his eyes on them. V'neged ha'amim shehem bnei Yishmael sheYerushalayim tachat yadam, and against the nation in Eretz Yisrael that Yerushalayim is under their hands. Amar shekol sus ha'amim am here akeh be'ivaron, I will strike with blindness. At shelo yiru al migi lochamu ki yahargu ish et achiv. I hope I made it clear. Basically, what it's saying in this pasuk, it's amazing. It's saying that, you know, Am Yisrael are going to be on both sides here. They're going to be in the middle. The war is not really their war. But nevertheless, what? It's actually like Kriyat Yam Suf. There's something else I want you to think about too. Keep thinking. They're going to actually be caught in the middle, and they will be in great danger, not just from the goyim, that horde, that undisciplined, untrained horde that comes to set siege on Yerushalayim, but also the Yishma'elim, the Am. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make the horse and riders that come to Yerushalayim filled with that Shigayon and Timahon. And the ones that are in Yerushalayim, they won't even see. They'll just start killing each other because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting his eye on Am Yisrael to make sure that they should not be totally destroyed. My dear friends, this is exactly a replay of the Crusades. I want you to please think of the Crusades when Richard the Lionhearted, yay. You know, when I learned about Richard the Lionhearted, he was this great hero. He was a hero. Can you imagine? He was a hero. Oh, my goodness. He led, the army of the British and conquered so many people. You know who we conquered? Richard the Lionheart had led the first crusade. And they went to free the Holy Land from the hands of the infidels, who at that time were, it was under the control of the Islam, right? And so they went to free Eretz Yisrael, but they cut a swath of blood across Europe as they marched by killing all the Jews that they came across as they were going. They went on this northern route. They went through the area of Rashi, right? Northern France, northern Germany, and then to the south. And of course, there was literal terror and murder along the way. And so these pictures of the end of time, it's very similar, because it's the Christians, Catholics, going to free Eretz Yisrael from the hands of the Muslims. It's very, very, very reminiscent of what happened at that time. So I think we could do another pasuk. Va'amru alfei Yehuda b'libam, and the thousands of Yehuda will say in their hearts, Am tzali yoshvei Yerushalayim b'ashem tzvakot Elokeim. Am tzal with an aleph, ometz, right? I will strengthen, I will give courage to the dwellers of Yerushalayim, but through Hashem, Tzvakot, their God. In other words, they will be strengthened, very interestingly. I am going to read you the Rashi. Lo, that was, I lost the place, because I turned the page, sorry. Okay, this is very important, so you must, this is extremely important. If you noticed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to put his eyes on Yehuda, and the Yehudim, nachon? And then the next pasuk, v'amru alufei. I made a mistake, my friends. It's not alfei. It was alufei. It's very important. I looked at the Malbim and I realized the mistake that I made, because there's a very big remez here. It is one of the few remazim for something. I'm going to read you the Malbim. Alufei is the princes, not alfei. I'm going to read it to you again. I apologize. For Amru Alufei Yehuda Belibam, and the leaders, the princes of Yehuda, will say in their hearts, Am Tzali, I'm going to strengthen myself, I'm going to give myself omets and courage, strength and courage for the dwellers of Yerushalayim with Hashem Tzvakot Elokeihem, with Hashem God of hosts, who is their God. Please listen, because it's really important, and I almost messed it up. Va'amru, az yakum Mashiach ben Yosef. That was a mistake I made. I just went right over it. I went right past it. And I promise you I prepared. I'm reading Malbim. Malbim, yeah. Rashi has a slightly different take. We'll do it next week. Oz yakum Mashiach ben Yosef ubnei Yehuda yitchazkuaz. When Mashiach ben Yosef will arise, then the sons of Yehuda will strengthen. Lefi divrei Chazal, and according to the words of Chazal, Gimel pa'amim atid gog lavo al Eretz Yisrael. Three times in the future, Gog Magog will come upon Eretz Yisrael. Hine pa'am harishon. This is the first time. Yakeh kol sus bi'ivaron. Every horse will be struck with blindness. Uba pa'amim ha'achronim yitchasku b'nei Yehuda. And in the other times, b'nei Yehuda will be strengthened. Va'alufei Yehuda yomru b'libam sheyoshvei Yerushalayim sheheim tzadikim, and the alufei, not the alfei, the alufei, the princes of Yehuda will say in their hearts that the dwellers of Yerushalayim that are the tzadikim, heim yitnu lahem ometz, the tzadikim will give them strength, b'tzit katam u'vitchonam b'shem, with their righteousness and their bitachon, their trust in Hashem Eloheim. In other words, the Jews, the Jewish people, the leaders will say, strengthen yourselves because you have a lot of tzaddikim in your midst, Am Yisrael. Strengthen yourselves in your emunah because Hashem is watching. So please notice, there's this us and va'amru, and the hints to a Mashiach ben Yosef are very obscure. There's going to be many more in this perek. In there, this is the perek that's the source of the fact that there will be an early leader at the time that the fighting is still going on. I can't hear. The shloshim, that's right, the shloshim, or that were promised. That were promised that they will always be shloshim or lamed vav, you know, 36, however you look at it, that there will always be tzaddikim. So essentially, what this picture that we're seeing is, we're seeing a picture, we weren't sure at first exactly what part of the battle we're talking about, but now he's saying, let me tell you that we're talking about all the battles, but part one is where the nations are going to come. They are going to be destroyed by the hand of Hashem, who is going to cause confusion and blindness among them, so that there will be murder, they'll be killing each other. But meanwhile, there is going to rise leadership among the Jews who are being caught in the middle of all this, and that leadership we know, we identify as Mashiach ben Yosef, and we will have more to say. Who will say, who will identify the fact that there are many tzaddikim among the Jews at that time, and they will give the entire nation the strength to make it through this time. And meanwhile, Shavua Tov l'kulam.